is the dream of every Muslim. Everyday Muslim, Saturdays 11 a.m. on Women Radio 91.7, is in collaboration with Muslim Public Affairs Center, NPAC. Everyday Muslim will address the misconceptions on Islam, foster a peaceful coexistence, and guide the everyday Muslim on the journey in Islam. Everyday Muslim, Saturdays 11 a.m. on Women Radio 91.7, simplified understanding of the deen.
Assalamu alaikum and labarakatuh, everyone out there. Good morning to you all. You are welcome to another exciting episode of Everyday Muslim, the show where we delve into the art of faith and its relevance to our daily lives, exploring unique topics that dwells on our day-to-day activities. I am your host, Rashida Adetun Okeolanio, also known as Olori Adetun. Everyday Muslim is powered by MPAC in collaboration with Women Radio. And today, we will turn our focus to overcoming peer pressure and staying true to Islamic values. Before I introduce my guest who will be joining us in the studio, let's take a message from a nasheed titled, Guide Me All the Way by Mazin.
Cause I know that one day, suddenly this will all come to an end. So my last wish is for you to be pleased with me. I do forget that my next breath could be the last. Forgive me, cause I can't thank you enough. Forgive me when I doubt your love. Now I pray for that day when all this stops and comes to an end.
So yeah, welcome back. If you're just joining us, you are on to Everyday Muslim on 91.7 FM Women Radio. As I said earlier, our topic of discussion is overcoming peer pressure and staying true to Islamic values. While we anticipate the arrival of our guests, who will be taking us through this topic, our phone lines will be open to get your view on peer pressure and how you were able to overcome it. To call us, 07000-917-917. 07000-917-917. If you would like to use the text or WhatsApp, 081-555-917-917. In today's fast-paced world, peer pressure has become a silent force, shaping decisions, actions, and beliefs of individuals, especially the youths. It often pulls us towards trends and behaviors that may conflict with our faith and values. As Muslims, we are guided by the principles of Islam, which teaches us to remain steadfast even when certain norms push us in different directions. According to the Quran, chapter 6, verse 116, says, "And if you obey most of those upon the earth, they will mislead you from the way of Allah. They follow not except assumption, and they are not but falsifying. This verse reminds us that we have to take caution when we are following the crowd, as their own paths may often deviate from the guidance of Allah. And of course, when it comes to peer pressure, it can also deviate. It can also make us leave the values of our home and Islam. So when you're following the crowd, you have to always remember that as Muslims, what makes you a Muslim is following the principles of Islam and of course the values of your home, your family values. And in the hadith also, Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, whoever seeks Allah's pleasure by displeasing the people, Allah will surface him against the people. And whoever seeks the people's pleasure by displeasing Allah, Allah will leave him to the people. That means that if you want to follow the crowd while living the principles of Islam, the values of Islam, Allah is going to leave you to yourself. Yes, we have a call. Oh, we lost it. Okay. Allah will leave you. But if you are with Allah and you stand by Allah's words, you seek Allah's pleasure, Allah is going to stand by you. And of course, the challenges, Allah is going to make you overcome it. This hadith emphasizes that prioritizing Allah's approval is very, very important. And it helps us to ensure that we don't fall into the crowd, we don't fall into the societal pressure, and it now be this kind of the word that we use, that there's this word that they use, you just want to follow the crowd, you want to be something like that, you just want to be with them all the time, not thinking about what Islam says, not thinking about your future, not thinking about the hereafter. It's a bit it's sometimes a bit difficult, especially for teenagers, for the youths. It doesn't mean that the adults too don't fall into peer pressure. Of course, the adults also fall into peer pressure. And these are the kind of, these are part of things that our lecturer, our guest, is not a lecturer, at the same time, is into education, will be discussing with us when he gets here. If you still like to call us, we'll be expecting your call. 07000-917-917. If you like to use the text or WhatsApp line, 081-555-917-917. We'll be expecting your call to tell us how you were able to overcome peer pressure. I know that around us, there are lots of peer pressures. And even I, myself, I would say that there are times when you see some things that your friends are doing and you'll be like, okay, I think I have to do this. I think I have to follow. I have to also follow them. But when you realize that, what is the gain? What will I gain after? Is it a pleasure of just 5 minutes? A pleasure of 10 minutes? A pleasure of 15 minutes? And before you know it, it takes you out of your lane, out of your own personal values, out of your family values, out of Islamic values, for the next 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 years. And unfortunately, some people don't even get out of it on time. It takes a lot of years for some people to get out of it. No matter what we are thinking about, we should always understand and know ourselves. Knowing yourself, knowing your personality, will also help you stay focused. Let's reflect on this. How often do we hesitate to speak the truth or do what is right because we fear the judgment from others? You know that this thing is wrong. You know that what they have done is wrong. But because of the fear that you're going to be judged by others, you fear not telling the truth and you follow them. At the end of the day, what happens is either when they get punished, you get punished with them, while you live on with that guilt that, oh my God, I should have told the truth, I should have said something, I should have said what I knew about it. That guilt will be there. Even though you have served the punishment, you still continue to feel that guilt within you. That what did you do? So now, think about it, reflect. Do you think It would have been right for you to have said it, Ruth? Or do you think you should have just left it and continued to go with your friends? It is a very, if you think deeply, you realize it's very deep, because you don't want your friends to leave you. You don't want to be alone. And sometimes this peer pressure also comes with bullying. That's the most unfortunate part of it. It comes with bullying, because the friends would have told you, if you say it, we will do this to you. If you say it, we will do this to you. And that's part of bullying. Or they can even tell you, can call you names. Oh, you casted us. You have that fear. We would like to hear your views on how you were able to overcome the peer pressure, either while you were growing up or even now as adults. I will not mind if you have kids around you that also want to share their own experience with us. Moving further, how do you think, or let me say, how was I able to overcome the peer pressure around me while I was a teenager? First of all, you need to realize what peer pressure is all about. We have both a negative and a positive aspect of it, but mostly the negative part is what is prominent, moving towards the other side, the negative aspect of what you used to believe. The positive side is when you see people going, doing good, maybe academically, they read their books and you follow them. While the negative side is you going through either smoking, engaging in drugs and things like that. When you understand yourself, when you realize it, that this is a peer pressure, this is not where you want to be. How do you even realize it? That's the first. How do you even realize it? You have to sit down and think about it. Look at the pros and cons of where you are. Is that where you want to be? Do you have goals for yourself? What are the personal goals that you have for yourself? Where you find yourself? Is this where you are going to be able to achieve your goals, your personal goals? Is it? Think, okay, we have a caller on the line. Assalamu alaikum.
Assalamu alaikum. Salam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Your name and where are you calling from?
Good morning, ma'am. My name is Mahmoud and I'm calling from Akute.
Okay. Go ahead, we can hear your view.
Yes, I just want to contribute to the topic at hand. Firstly, I must admit that it is not that easy to overcome peer pressure. That is just the fact. But while growing up, and even at the moment, the way I believe one can overcome peer pressure is by staying focused. By staying focused, an individual needs to be, resilient. You have to stay focused. You must have a goal by staying focused. Because, the waves, the negative waves we have around now is, could be all-consuming if one is not careful.
Certainly.
So staying focused while... Hello?
Hello, we can hear you. Where with you?
Yes, staying focused while looking at your goals, ahead of you could help you a lot, to overcome the peer pressure. And also, for people like me, I'm going to personalize this now. God, Almighty Allah made it so easy for me, for the kind of person that I am. If you are a non-conformist, it gets a lot easier for you to stay above any kind of influence, be it negative, in fact, particularly negative influence. So a non-conformist tends to be, you know, it tends to be easier for a non-conformist to rise above all the negative influence or peer pressure as, you know, as it is. So, and above all, too, very, very key, very important, we need to connect to Almighty Allah to help us.
Mm.
Because all these ones I've just talked about, if one removes the factor of Almighty Allah, who is the controller of affairs, who has the, you know, the control of our mind in his heart, and it could just result to a joke. So we need to constantly connect with Almighty Allah to help us to stay focused, to help us to, you know, to always look at our goals and be able to work in line with what we. When I talk about goals, I'm not only talking about the worldly goals. I'm not only talking about the worldly goals. I'm also talking about the overall Muslim goal, which is the hereafter, paradise, and journey to the freedoms that we are. So we always constantly need to talk to Almighty Allah to help us to be resilient and to stay focused. It's very, very important. May Almighty Allah make it easy for us, because because a lot is really happening nowadays. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah.
Wa alaikum assalam wa barakatuh. Jazakullah khairan. Yeah. My guest is here. I call him my boss. And what are we talking about? We're talking about Dr. Ogumuyiwa Sulaimon Olaguke. Assalamu alaikum wa barakatuh.
Wa alaikum salam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. My apologies for coming late.
Alhamdulillah. Dr. Ogumuyiwa is a director and head of Education Quality Assurance Services units of the Lagos State Ministry of Basic and Secondary Education. He has more than 25 years of experience as a licensed counselor, and he is a fellow of the Institute of Islamic Finance Professional and the chairman board of incorporated trustees of the First Class Muslim Foundation. You're welcome again, sir.
Thank you very much. Thank you for having me.
Before you joined us, our major topic for today is peer pressure, overcoming peer pressure and staying true to Islamic values. And I'm sure you heard our caller who spoke about how he was able to overcome it, going back to Allah and staying focused with his goals, which he also said that it's very difficult nowadays, but then we just need to know ourselves. Knowing himself was one of the things that helped him out of the situation. My first question from that is, what does it really mean to stay steadfast in the face of peer pressure? And how can young Muslims draw strength from their faith to uphold their Islamic identity?
A'udhu billahi minash shaitani rajim. Bismillahir rahmanir rahim. Wa salatu wa salam ala rasulullah wa ala alihi wa sahbihi wa sallim. Again, thank you for having me, and thank you for keeping the program running. Looking at the topic of discussion, peer pressure, it may seem to anyone listening that peer pressure is a problem for the youths, but it is for everybody, including myself. I remember the first time many years ago when my very close friend threw the house, the next thing was, you are next. Oh, another friend said, okay, so you are next. So, and that's also peer pressure. If I don't have the means to build a house at that time, I'll start looking for different ways to just get money to do it. So peer pressure is something that is general. I mean, housewives are pressured, husbands are pressured, children are pressured, youths, and everyone like that. However, when we find ourselves in this kind of situation, because it's a life thing, you leave one peer pressure to go to another one, to go to another one. At every point in time, you have to make sure, like the caller said, that you have a focus. Now, when you have a focus, the focus is back up with plan. Now, if you just have a focus and you don't have a plan, it's going to be very difficult for you to be able to stay focused, because peer pressure is just a distraction out of so many other distractions. So if you are not very focused and you don't have a plan to actualize your focus, then it becomes very difficult for you to stay towards that particular focus. Now, when you have a plan, it's also important that you share this plan with some other people who should help you to contribute to it. Now, contribution of 2-3 people to your plan gives you some level of confidence that, yes, I think I'm on the right path. Now, the danger there is if you don't consult other people and you allow somebody to just come on and speak to your plan, you feel like, oh, what you are saying is also correct. Maybe I should go your direction. Mm. Another person comes, oh, maybe I go your direction. But when, after running through 2-3 people that you respect, that are more experienced than you, it gives you a lot of confidence in this. And lastly, you take your plan to Allah. This is where you do your, prayer to seek guidance from Allah. Oh, Allah, I have this plan. I want to do this. Is it 2 rakah nawafil? Put your plan before Allah. If this is going to be good for me, this one and the other after, please make it go through. You do istikhara on everything that you want to do, and you supplicate to Allah. Rasulullah said in one hadith, he said, supplicate to Allah. Even when you are putting salt in your food, oh Allah, I want to make, please don't let salt be too much in this food. You want to lace your shoe, Rasulullah, seek guidance from Allah. So when you have a plan and you have consulted people, you have taken it to Allah, and you have a focus that you are going, it makes you to be steadfast in whatever you are doing, be an adult or being a youth.
Jazakallah, Karen. Looking at it, why do we as Muslims sometimes find it challenging to say no to what we know contradicts our values? Is it lack of conviction, or is it societal influence just to be strong? Why? Or is it that we are being too compassionate and we accept everything?
Okay, so I will limit this to 4 basic points.
Okay.
The first one is that anybody that finds himself or herself in this situation is exactly what you have just said about lack of conviction. But if the conviction is not deep, when you don't have enough confidence in your faith, then you start doubting. It becomes very difficult for you to say no. Secondly, is if you have fear of being excluded socially. Now, because particularly nowadays, a lot of youths want to belong. They want to belong. And because you don't want to be excluded from that circle of being belonging, then you say yes. You don't want to say no. Everybody is doing this. Oh, if I say no, I'll be the only person that is left out. And that does not matter. If I take you back to the life of Prophet Ibrahim, alayhi salatu wasalam, he was a very young boy. When everybody, alluded to worshipping idols, he said no. So don't fear that you'll be ostracized from your colleagues. Another reason is when we have little knowledge. You have little knowledge of what you are doing exactly. For example, somebody says that, I don't touch the opposite sex. And your friend starts mocking you. Say, oh, look at you. You are not enjoying. You don't know. You tap current from them. You do this, you do that. Now, your knowledge has taught you as a Muslim that when you touch an opposite sex that you are not married to, it means that Prophet said it is better for you to hold an ember of fire than to go and touch that person. Now, because of the knowledge that you have, no matter what anybody is saying, your knowledge gives you the confidence to say, no, I'm not going to do this. Oh, alcohol is here. Drink. Why not? It's just for today. And you know that if you drink, if you take alcohol, you will continue to pray your salat for 40 days and Allah will not accept it. So when you have that knowledge, it gives you that confidence to be able to say no. But when you don't have the knowledge, you're just doing a faith based on the surface, then it becomes difficult for you to say no. And lastly is, even for some people who know, they are very weak in self-discipline. Self-discipline. You are not supposed to do this, but you have done it. So when you are with people, you can't stay on your own. You can't be disciplined. And when you are alone, you feel remorse. Oh, I shouldn't have done it. Okay, I won't do it again. So when you go in the midst of people again, you do it because you are weak when it comes to self-discipline.
Self-discipline. You mentioned something of trying to belong and understanding what Islam says. That will lead me to my next question. How can we empower ourselves, not youth alone, how can we empower ourselves to see Islamic values, not as restrictive rules, but as a liberating principles that shields us from harm?
Yeah, this is very, very important. And I think this is what every Muslim scholar, every imam, every adult should do to the young ones. We expect the best from them, but we are not giving them the right knowledge. We are not teaching them what we should. I have a lot of respect for those who started Muslim schools many years ago. I was still in the classroom as a classroom teacher in Lagos State Public School, and that was the time that schools were divided into JSS and SS. Now, there were some students who came from Muslim schools into GSS 1. I happened to be in SS, but secondary school, senior secondary school, where we shared the same compound. So these students, very young students, they saw me from afar and they came and they said the taslim to me. I was so happy because they were coming from a Muslim school. They had that values that they had been taught to identify as a Muslim and to also identify other people and also say taslim to them. So they came to me and they said taslim. And I know that what I have experienced is that I enter a class and I ask, where are the Muslims? And even the Muslims are afraid to raise up their hands.
Mm.
And this is because they don't have that understanding. So develop a deep understanding of Islamic teachings and values right from young age. This will help us to be able to know what Islam wants and what Islam does not want, what are the values, and other people are not going to share with us values that are not Islamic. Secondly, we need to reflect on the wisdom and benefit behind each of the values and principles. When Allah says, or the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam says, you don't do something, we have to bring reasons to rationalize. Not just that, you must just believe. The youths of nowadays don't just believe. They want to be convinced of what they want to do. So if you are a scholar, you are an imam, or you are an adult, and you tell your children, go and pray. I said, you go and pray. So why should I pray? I said, just go and pray. You just have to pray. It doesn't work like that. It doesn't work like that. I have given this example before, and I'd like to give it over and over again. What you want your children to emulate from you, you have to demonstrate it. Now, a Muslim sister who has about 3 kids, you know, went to pray in her house. She was praying. Her kids were looking at her. Then after the salat, she spread her hands and started supplicating. And her son was wondering. He said, Mom, what are you saying? What are you doing? He said, I'm praying to Allah. He said, what are you praying for? You're a medical doctor. You have money. Your husband is rich. What do you want? He said, I am praying to Allah to make you, my son, a successful one. To make you, my son, to be a steadfast Muslim. Then the boy said, you are praying for me. And from today, I'll be praying for you too. Now, we have to give, let our kids, let our youths, let people around us understand the reason for which they have to do one ibadah, one worship, or carry out a value. Also, we need to surround ourselves with positive influences and role models that embodies the Islamic, values. There are so many models all over. And, we see even Muslim youth picking models out of those that shouldn't be models to them. And do we blame them? Because even Muslims, as Muslims, we are not showcasing our own role models to these children. So I think this is very, very important. We have to also equip ourselves, empower ourselves with those, aspects of Islam that talks about the don'ts. You need to know why Islam has said you don't do this and you don't do that and you don't do this. For a Muslim, you are in this world, the world is like a prison, because you have so many rules guiding you. Because we also look forward to the year after, when it's going to be a free world for us. Everything that you think that you want, you will see it. Just imagine what you want, you will get it. But in this world, you cannot just get everything that you want.
Jazakallah, Karen. I have a question on that role model, but before then, if you are just joining us, you are on to Everyday Muslim on 91.7 FM. Our phone lines are still open for calls: 0700 917 917. Prefer to use the text or WhatsApp: 0815555 917 917. You mentioned role model. When is the right age for parents to pick role models that they can look up to, or mentors they can look up to? When is the right age to introduce them to it? When is it ready for you to start telling them
about it? Introduce children?
Yes, children.
Oh, role model, there's no, the moment your child can, you know, observe something, can notice something, then they start to choose role models. You start to hear them say, I like this. Now, growing up with kids, you see them like one cartoon over another cartoon. Now, different children will choose, oh no, I love this cartoon more than this. What do they like in the cartoon? The character in the cartoon. And those are the models they are looking at. So you also have to introduce the kind of models that you want for your children. Now, this is why we usually have kunya. Kunya is I said, I am Sulaiman Abu Yasser. Oh, I have seen something good in Yasser. So I named my son Yasser, and I say, you know what? There's somebody bearing Yasser among the companions of the Prophet. In fact, he was not only the person that was recognized, it was his whole family. The Prophet will refer to the family of Yasser. So you can pick Yasser as a model. Yasser also has a son called Amar. You can choose Amar as a model. Now, from name that you have given to your child, you start to build, you know, their models from there. Okay, apart from that, you yourself as a father, you try to be a good role model to your son or to your daughter. We shouldn't be like, oh, you know what, I am your father, you do what I say, but don't do what I do. You have to be a model in words, in actions, because whatever you think in your head is what you feel in your body, and whatever you feel in your body is the action that you carry out at the end of the day. So start thinking about a model that you want to become. We give this kind of challenge to children. I say, okay, you have listened to so many prophets, you have listened to the story of so many prophets, of the Sahaba, of the companions, of great Muslim scholars. Can you choose one person as a role model? Then your son start to think, from age 3, from age 4, from age 5, let them pick role models. And they keep changing them. You know, you pick a role model at age 3, by the time you get to age 7, you have seen somebody else that you think you like. And you pick. And you go on and on. So, as far as I'm concerned, there is no age limit. The moment your son, your daughter, can recognize and observe and speak, start to introduce role models to them.
And in addition to what you just said now, I think the kind of TV shows that the children also watch can also help them to choose a good role model. Because I remember when I was still a bit younger, I used to watch Light Upon Light by Esther Gonia.
Yeah.
And the way she talks to the kids, I was like, oh yes, I like this person. So that's a kind of flashback to me, actually. Jazakallah Khairan. There are some moments that it's very intense, as in that time when you are kind of confused, you are in a state of, you need clarity, the pressure is really high on you. How can we use the Quran and the Sunnah of the Prophet as our compass, helping us to navigate the challenges without us losing ourselves? Because some people, at the end of the day, they lose themselves and it goes out of board.
Yeah, thank you so very much. This question is very apt, and I think my advice for every Muslim is, if you use a phone, then ask a lot of questions. I interact a lot with Meta AI, and you can go on Meta AI just on your WhatsApp to ask, what does the Quran says about this? What does the Hadith say about this? This is the closest to us. so that you don't take any step, you don't do anything other than what the Quran and the Hadith of Rasulullah, you know, has guided us on. Try to get close to scholars. And I beg you not to choose just one scholar, because there are so many issues where we have differences of opinion. So have this scholar, have that scholar, have another scholar that you can ask questions, and they give you, you know, maybe very close or different answers, very close answers, and you look at the options and you choose the one that is, you know, most convenient for you. Whichever one that you choose, you know that you are still in line. The Prophet ﷺ said, follow my tradition and the tradition of the four rightly guided caliph. So it means that, I mean, he should have said, I'll follow the tradition of, you know, of Abu Bakri. Because it means that Abu Bakri, Umar will follow Abu Bakri, Uthman will follow Umar. But he said, follow any one of them, because all of them are different school of thoughts on their own, and they can have differences in their opinion. So it means that always interact with different scholars to know opinions on different matters, and you can now be guided on the Quran and the Hadith of Rasulullah. Again, seek guidance always with Allah. I have said this, and we cannot say this more than enough time. Always be close to Allah. Always, you know, ask anything you want to do. Supplicate to Allah. Tell Allah to guide you. And practice a lot of self-reflection on the things, on hadith and verses of the Quran. Even the early Muslims, they will look at verse of the Quran, they will think about it. And my wife always encourages this tradition in my house. Before we sleep, we say, let's open any part of the Quran and read. Everybody will read. Just open any part and read. There are kind of inspiration that comes onto you when you read the Quran, you know, from different, and you reflect on them. Let us ensure that the whole of our life is based on the Quran and the Hadith, the sayings and the practice of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam in everything that we do. And you can do this, you know, by the different ways that I have mentioned.
Jazakallah khairan. You mentioned the four caliphs. I know that we have lots of role models in Islamic history, but I would like you to talk about those four, or any other one that you can talk about, like the youths in the cave that Ashab al-Kahf, their values that they stood for against societal pressure. At the same time, what are the lessons that we can take away from their resilience?
In the Quran, I find the story of Ashab al-Kahf most interesting when it comes to encouraging the youths. I remember my second year in the university, I started getting closer to Allah. I came across this verse. I was in the garden where, you know, we had to share our thoughts on it, and I was amazed. If at that time of history, some youth can come together and leave their community because they feel what they are doing in the community is evil, and they, with the intention, Allah said, "Wazidnahum huda," we increase them in guidance. All you need to do is take a step towards Allah. Allah says, you crawl towards me, I will walk towards you. You walk towards me, I will run towards you. You take a step. This youth took a step to say, we want to seek Allah. Allah said, we increase them in guidance, and they became a reference point for every other youth in the Quran. We need to have this kind of, you know, focus and zeal to be able to do things. So they are my number one role model that I will always recommend to anybody, any youth, to go to the Quran and read about it. Again, Prophet Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam, the Quran refers to him, Allah refers to him as one ummah. He is one person, but is an ummah. An ummah is a community of people. But Allah refers to Ibrahim as a community because of what he did. And what did he do? The whole community made up their mind they are going to worship idols. And Ibrahim alone stood and said no to idols. They didn't listen to him. All of them went out for a ceremony. And he saw all the idols And he took his cutlass and cut the head, cut the hand, cut everything. And he now put the axe on the head of the biggest idol. So when they came back, they start asking, oh, who did this to our idol? It should be Ibrahim. Ibrahim, come here. Look at the intelligence, the wisdom that he adopted. He said, why do you accuse me? Why don't you ask the big idol who even has the axe over him? Maybe it is the big idol that caught the hands of the other ones. And he said, how can you tell us to, when you know that he cannot talk? When you know that he cannot do, so you know your idols cannot even speak. They can't even help. The big one cannot help the small ones. And this was something that turned the whole community to start thinking about what Ibrahim is saying, what Prophet Ibrahim is saying. Prophet Ibrahim was a youth at that time, and he was able to convince his father, convince so many people to come to the way of Allah. So these are role models that we can, you know, emulate in Islam. And the greatest of all role models that Allah has given for the whole world is Muhammad Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. In one of the books that I have seen and scanned through, 100 most influential people in the world. Mm-hmm. It was written by a non-Muslim, and the first person that said the most influential person is Muhammad Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. No wonder Allah told us in the Quran, he said, "Laqad kana lakum fi Rasulullahi uswatun hasana." Said the best of example is in the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam for you to emulate. Now these are just few, and I tell you, every companion of the Prophet is a role model. Abu Bakr, Uthman, Umar, Ali, Jafar, you know, Zaid, Ibn Harith, all of them are role models. You choose one, any one of them, you try to emulate them, then I'm sure you'll be guided to the light of Allah. And we also have a lot of models in the early Muslims.
Before we move out from the role model, for adults that find themselves in a state of confusion, peer pressure, for example, a common example is, I don't have the means for Ashwebi, but because my friends are taking the Ashwebi, I need to also be participating in it. What can you tell such either male or female adults generally?
Okay, so I have one yardstick to measure everything I want to do in life. There are some things that are obligatory on me that I have to do. For example, I have to observe Salat. And I have to observe Salat in clean clothes, in a clean area. Now, any other thing becomes optional. The issue of Ashwebi, Ashwe whatever, is optional. For me, excuse me. Okay. If you have the means, no problem. But if you don't have the means, it becomes a sin. And watch my lips. It becomes a sin on you to go and borrow money. To go and buy it, because this is not something that is obligatory on you. Debt is not something that is encouraged in Islam. You only go into debt when you feel constrained to be able to do something. So the issue of the issue of Ashwebi, I mean clothing generally, is not something that you have to go out of your way and start borrowing money. Why don't you try to cut your coat according to your means? You don't do things out of your means. So I really don't support people who will go out of their way, plug themselves into debt because they want to measure up with what other people are doing. You deceive people, but you're not going to deceive Allah. Allah knows the way you are. So why don't you allow people to know, this is the way I am. You cannot be lightweight and you are telling people that you are heavy. Whether you like it or not, they will still know that you are light. And you don't hide for such things. It is Allah that blesses.
Jazakallah Khairan. The funniest part is that by the time people realize that you are light, they come back to make jest of you. And your self-esteem is going to be lost. True. Going back to them, you'll be a shame. Because you can't go back there and tell them that, I'm sorry, you become a laughing stock. So as I have just said, you don't have to go out of your way to satisfy people and displease Allah or put yourself in a tight corner that you're going to regret at the end of the day. If you're just joining us, you're on to Everyday Muslim on 92.7 FM. Our phone lines are still open for calls, 07000-917-917. For WhatsApp or text messages, 08155-917-917. Doctor, how can young Muslims lead by example, transforming peer pressure into a force for good by inspiring their friends to adopt positive behaviors? Looking at, of course, you are in the educational sector, and looking at our environment, looking at the schools now, we can see that there are lots of forces around them. How can they be a force for that good, even though they are the only one or they are minute in that environment that they find themselves?
Yeah, this is very, very important. And I'll start from the role of the adults. And the role of the adults is to encourage these youths and to support them. We have so many youth organizations that are making a lot of effort. We have to encourage them. Now, when you now find young Muslims who are convinced about their deen, about their religion, and they want to really lead others and make, you know, them follow the good deeds that have been mentioned in Islam, we have to support them from the angle of attending their programs, to give them encouragement, you know, giving them money, funds, support, to make them to be able to do what they want to do. Now, to the youth themselves, one thing is they have become an embodiment of positive Islamic values. And you cannot portray yourself as a Muslim that is following the path of Allah in the public and you now go behind and do something that is wrong. You have to try as soon as possible that at your outside and your inside are quite good, because you are trying to lead by example. Secondly, you have to inspire your friends and your peers to be able to adopt the way that you have chosen. And you encourage them. And the way of encouraging them is, you are with your friends, it is time for Salat, encourage them. Say, let us go and pray, all of us together. Just don't leave them. You go and pray, and you come back and you still meet them still gisting. And they are Muslims. No, encourage them. Summonize them. Let's go and pray. When there is an action to be carried out for Islam, encourage them to do it. Now, also find time to share your knowledge with them. Share knowledge with your friends. Because if they don't know, you cannot blame them. So it is, the onus is on you, the young Muslims who are trying to set good examples, to also share their knowledge with their friends. There is a story in the life of the companions when two friends, one happened to be a Muslim, the other one is not a Muslim. So the one who became a Muslim had it in mind that I'm going to speak with my friend. So when he goes to his friend, he's unable to speak to him. Maybe he's shy, maybe he doesn't have enough confidence to talk to him. So the first time, second time, but this young Muslim who is trying to set a good example was praying to Allah, oh Allah, make it easy for me to be able to speak with my friend, make it easy for me for my friend to be able to accept Islam. And the third time he had an encounter with his friend and he was unable to speak and he was about going, it was a friend who now called him and said, my friend, you see, there is something you want to tell me. He said, yes, how do you know? I want to tell you about Islam. He said, okay, tell me. Then he told him about Islam and his friend accepted Islam. This is how to be, you know, good example unto other people. And finally is engaging in, you know, community service and volunteer work. If you are a young Muslim and you see yourself as a good example to others, then showcase what you do. Support the community. Go and become volunteers for different organizations to showcase that, I mean, you have this attributes, you have this knowledge, you have this skill to support other Muslims. And I think this is something that a lot of people will pick from you as a model.
Karen, if you're just joining us, you're on to Everyday Muslim on 91.7 FM. Our phone lines are still open, 070-00917-917, 070-00917-917. Doctor, you spoke about the self-discipline, and I remember that our caller also mentioned self-discipline. I also mentioned something like self-confidence, self-esteem. It has a lot to play with. It has a lot to do with fear. And how do youths or how do individuals overcome the fear of being judged or excluded? And how can we strengthen the traits in our daily lives?
Thank you.
Sorry, please. Before you answer the question, I won't mind if you can give us a list of or some points that our listeners can also jot down on what they can do to strengthen their self-discipline.
Excellent. So self-discipline plays a crucial role in overcoming the fear of being judged or being excluded in the community. And to strengthen this trait, the first thing we need to practice is self-reflection and self-awareness. And I think I met you talking about self-awareness.
Yeah. Yes.
That's one thing. If you want to be self-disciplined, then you start from the point of self-awareness. If you don't self-aware, you really don't know the direction that you need to go. Some people in their self, they are already disciplined. So they need a little bit of touch to have this, to develop and hold some self-discipline. However, some people are so weak, but they don't know they are weak, and they want to carry out a lot of things that has to do with self-discipline. So you have to practice self-reflection, which is going to lead you to self-awareness. And this is what will help you to now recognize what are those challenges that may derail you from your path. Second point is that you develop a strong connection with Allah. And how do you do that? Your salat, when you go for prayers, you are connecting with Allah. I was just telling a group yesterday that until you start to go for your prayers, and after the taslim, you feel some sense of happiness in you. That is when you are afraid. Not that, after prayer, you feel that, I think I've done it now, so I'm free. I'm free. I don't have any. No, you have to be happy. Because there's no one that, if you have a loved one, either your wife or your son or your daughter, and you want to meet them, that you will not be meeting them with some joy in your heart. Mm. So you go to Allah with joy in your heart. The point is, you need a strong connection with Allah. And the first way is through your prayers. The second way is through the recitation of the Quran. Reciting the Quran is something that is also going to help you develop a strong connection with Allah. And the last one is remembrance of Allah, doing dhikr. Subhanallah, walhamdulillah, wa la ilaha illallah, wa allahu akbar. Saying all kinds of dhikr, all kinds of dhikr. Wallahi, if you can do this, your lips at every point in time, it is the best that Allah can do for you. I met a man in Pakistan many years ago, a professor from Yemen, and if he sits down for 5 minutes, you will see him whisper something. He will keep quiet again. He will whisper something after another 10 minutes. And one day he told me, he said, Sulaiman, say it. I said, say what? He said, say askar. Say askar. And he was always saying the askar intermittently. When you do this, then you are developing your self-discipline, and you are developing a strong connection with Allah. The third point is surround yourself with positive people, positive friends, positive role models who are going to encourage you to be able to do what is good. The prophet said, if you want to choose a friend, choose somebody that when you see him, he reminds you of Allah. When he speaks, he increases you in knowledge. And when he acts, he reminds you of the day of judgment. These are the people that you should, you know, surround yourself with. If you surround yourself with these kind of people, then you will be very strong when it comes to self-discipline. Another thing we can do is you engage yourself in physical and mental exercises. If you are lazy to engage in physical exercises, then your level of self-discipline becomes very low. Because it is not easy to physically do exercises. And when you can do it, maybe every morning you want to go for a walk, or every morning you want to do push-up 15 or 20, and you are consistent in doing it, it shows that you can be self-disciplined. So one of the things that we can do that can strengthen our self-discipline is to do both physical and mental exercises. And the last one is that when we are confused about any matter, rather than choose what you think is best for you, consult with your scholars so that they can always guide you.
Jazakallah Khan, thank you very much. We would like to appreciate our guest, Dr. Sulaimon Ogunmuyiwa Olagoke. Like many goes to WFM and Impact for this program. A big thank you to our engineer Michael and my producer Ayomide. Thank you to our esteemed listeners for joining us on today's show. But then before going, I would like to say this: when it comes to peer pressure, peer pressure is a challenge that tests our faith and commitment to Islamic values. By staying grounded in teachings of the Quran and Sunnah, we can build the confidence to resist negative influences and make decisions that align with our purpose as Muslims. Remember, pleasing Allah should always take precedence over seeking acceptance from others. True success lies in following the straight path, even when it feels lonely. Stay strong. Surround yourself, just like Doctor has said, with positive companions, and trust that Allah will guide and protect you as you remain steadfast in your faith. Jazakallah khairan to everybody once again. I'm sure that we all learned one or two things, because I personally, I learned a lot from it, especially as an adult. I am Rashida Adeto Okeolaniyo, signing off. Until next week, same time, same station. Masalam, and enjoy the rest of your weekend with the Nasheed by Nadim Muhammad, titled Sona of Hearts.
Turned away, feels emptiness inside. A never-ending rain keeps falling from the sky. Oh, turner of hearts, keep me on a straight path. Don't misguide me, don't let me walk away. Keep my heart close to you. Signs, but yet my